Hi, I'm Katrina Daniel, and welcome to Primetime Crime, a podcast for people who want to know what goes on behind the scenes of the most notorious trending crime stories and what's going on in the minds of those involved in those stories. What are the detectives, the judges, the defense attorneys, and the prosecutors thinking? You'll hear it all on Primetime Crime, the podcast. I'm Katrina Daniel. This is Primetime Crime and the seriously frightening tragedy at Houston's Astroworld Travis Scott concert clusterbuck cost 8 young people their lives, including a 9-year-old and a 14-year-old. 50,000 people at this huge concert, and some concertgoers suffocated and were trampled to death as the crowd literally went wild. There's just so much blame to go around. The fire marshals didn't shut the concert down. The cops and other security didn't shut the concert down. The promoters and organizers, Live Nation, didn't shut the concert down. And Travis Scott, well, he just kept performing throughout. Although he did call out the ambulance once he saw it, and he mentioned that someone had passed out and asked for help. But he didn't shut the concert down. He didn't stop his show, nor did anyone else. The result, 8 people dead, many more seriously injured, and now all those in charge are in the line of fire, as they should be. An expert with us to clue us into what's going to happen next, attorney Andy Yaffa.
A concert attendee describes the scene at Travis Scott's Astroworld.
Everyone's jumping, and you just feel your body, like, rising with heat. Like, you can barely breathe in there. And then I remember I look behind me and I see like it literally looks like a whirlpool of just kids and people like falling and people trying to reach up, like they're reaching up for you, like people, I literally heard people screaming like, help, like, please help me. And I was just like, I turned around and I was like, well, I wish I could help them. I'm just trying to get out for myself. And I get up and I finally like, and I notice when I get on this, I landed on a girl. I noticed her boyfriend's under, and he's like, just get her up, like, get her up. And I get up, and I remember seeing someone under him, literally face down on the ground, just under him, responseless.
Andy Yaffa, thank you, as usual, for joining us. I'm really interested in learning what you think about this Astroworld fiasco, which is a good small diplomatic word for a total cluster buck with a B. 8 people dead, 25 people critically injured, 30 lawsuits at least already filed. Who would you target?
Well, Katrina, I can tell you, obviously, this is a tragedy of untold proportions, and my heart goes out to all of these families. And unfortunately, there's a lot of blame to go around, and it's not limited to Travis Scott, believe it or not.
Yeah, not really.
It goes from Travis all the way through the promoters, the ticket sales, the security companies. And believe it or not, I'm hesitant to say this and I'm sad to say this, but the police and the fire rescue and the city is all involved.
I agree.
They bought into this guy. They knew what he was about. They endorsed him. And before the concert even went forward, they knew there were problems. They still let this thing go forward. And unfortunately, there are so many people that paid the ultimate price. And this was just countless senseless losses. It's horrible.
I guess the chief of police went to talk to Travis Scott and urged him and I'm trying to keep clear exactly what he said to him, but he said he was worried about the ambiance, the energy of the crowd, and they blew him off. I'm saying you can't go to someone and say, well, I'm worried about the energy of your crowd. You got to actually have something to handle that energy, right?
No question. No question. By at 2 o'clock that afternoon, they already had crowds breaking through the barriers of the VIP section. And so they knew it was a high energy crowd. They knew they weren't going to be able to control them. Yet, based on what I've seen thus far, there were not any precautions that were taken to elevate the level of protection and control that should have been taken in this case. And there were lots of things that could and should have been done that weren't.
let's talk about Travis Scott. He's got a history of doing this at least twice before. By doing this, I mean inciting and urging on a crowd. Tell me about that.
So this young man is making millions and millions of dollars by inciting these crowds. He wants this violent behavior. He wants them to behave in such ways that it's dangerous. And you've got folks that have been hurt in exactly the same fashion. They've passed out. They get pushed by the crowds from behind. They can't breathe. There have been folks that he has urged to jump from the rafters, and they've done so. And some have been successful and done so without being injured. Others have suffered injuries so severe that it's caused paraplegia. There are lawsuits that have been brought. This guy has a history of doing this over and over again. And in light of, you know, what he said after the fact, that he's concerned about the safety, welfare of his crowds, it's contrary to all of the behavior that preceded this event. This is all about saving face. This is all about saving reputation and avoiding the litigation that's now going forward. We know there's 30 lawsuits plus that have been filed to date, and I guarantee you there's going to be a lot more.
Who would be your primary target? Would it be the promoters, Live Nation?
No question. They were involved. They knew about it. They endorsed him. They promoted him. And nobody can say that what happened here wasn't foreseeable.
Right.
If you look at the video that he promoted out, you know, "Hey, Mom, I Can Fly."
Yeah.
In there, they specifically had the exact same prior problems. Nobody died, but he had previously had people that had passed out. What more do you need to appreciate that this guy is making millions and millions of dollars by inciting the crowds to engage in behavior that is not only violent, but dangerous, and people are going to get hurt? And that's exactly what happened here.
And that's what he did as in those two prior arrests that you mentioned in 2015 and 2017. He said, you know, rush past the security guards. Who are the deep pockets in this?
So without question, Ticketmaster's involved through the promoters. You got Travis Scott, you got Astroworld, you got Live Nation, you got Scoremore. It is unbelievable. You got the actual facility where this happened. You know, you need to make sure that all of these parties come together to promote and put on a safe event. You've got the city of Houston that participated in this. There were permits that were drawn. You've got the police, you've got the fire rescue, you've got the security companies. And obviously, the more you learn, the more the blame is going to be spread. This entire event was promoted to be a rowdy, raucous event. You can see in his tweets, some of which that were removed, that specifically said, "We're going to let the rowdy ones in." You know, even though it had been sold out, there were 50,000 fans.
That's unbelievable. Huge.
By 2 o'clock that afternoon, these violent fans were already breaking through the VIP entrance. They knew, given his history, given what had happened that exact day, that this was going to be a very crazy event and somebody needed to take control, and that didn't happen.
Who should have taken control, in your opinion?
Well, we know by 2 o'clock, the police have already approached Travis and they said, "Listen, we're concerned. It's a high energy event. We're worried about what's going to happen." If Travis Scott and Astroworld Festivals and Live Nation and Scoremore did not have the ability to ensure to the police chief that there were precautions that were being taken to prevent out of control crowds, to prevent the surge that was known to happen in the past, then this event should not have been allowed to go forward. And any one of them could have stopped it. Any one of them. They could have stopped this. They could have said it's not going forward. The police could have said this isn't going to happen unless and until it's safe.
I think I'm personally laying more blame at the feet of the firefighters and the police, who apparently were aware that this could have happened, because Travis Scott is not in the security business, okay? He sings, okay? That's what he does. His people should have done something. His manager should have done something. But ultimately, I think a lot of this rests with the city of Houston. And they had like a 56-page document of preparations, but they didn't prepare for crowd surge. I don't know how you do that, but they didn't.
So, Katrina, let's think about this for a second. I don't disagree with you that the fault is spread far and wide, but you've got Travis Scott, who's known to incite the crowds. I want you to tell me what other event in history, okay, would this type of inciting the crowds be acceptable, where you know you're going to have this surge and people are getting compressed, they can't breathe, they're passing out, and they're getting hurt. He's equated his events almost like the World Wrestling Federation. There, they're in seats. People are not rushing the stage, okay? Football games, you've got them watching the event itself, but they're all confined to seats. If Travis Scott is going to have these events, let them do so in stadiums where there's not this mosh pit. Let them go ahead and have people in assigned seats where there's going to be personal space that's going to be respected, and people aren't going to be crushed and pushed up against the crowd, against the stage and everything else. There's lots of different options that were there and available that weren't taken.
There's footage of Travis Scott singing for like 20 or 30 minutes more. Is it possible that he could not know that this was going on, as he says?
He's going to claim ignorance, but the video doesn't lie. You have him on stage, not only on stage, but on an elevated platform where he is seeing the ambulance and the lights. He knows people are hurt in the crowd. He stops for a second, and he could have stopped the entire concert at that point, but he didn't. He just kept right on inciting, right on singing. And we also know that by 9:30. By 9:30, the police had already declared this as a mass casualty event, and it wasn't stopped. They let him keep on singing right till 10:10. What are they thinking? Yeah. He, who says he's interested in the safety, welfare of his crowd, sees his fans that are passed out, they're being trampled. He could have stopped everything and said, "What's going on here?" You've got members of the crowd that are climbing the stage, screaming to the cameraman, "Stop the show, stop the show."
Yeah,
the cameraman. What are they thinking? The show must go on? That's what happened here.
Yeah, she was a student in college there. She's a senior. And she tried to get the cameraman's attention, and he couldn't have cared less. We're busy shooting, let me be.
And we also have, believe it or not, you know, Drake wasn't performing at the time. He had already completed his set, as I understand it. But he was there, and he saw the ambulances all responding in the middle of the crowd. Why didn't he speak up and do something about this? I don't have an answer for any of this. There's so many unanswered questions. It's just unfathomable that so many people could have looked the other way and let this continue.
You know, in the interest of trying to, Drake isn't, I guess, tasked with trying to stop this. If either Drake or Travis Scott had said something to the crowd, it might have made it worse. I mean, that's a possibility. They might have really panicked and gone crazy.
Sure, but what's to say that would have happened? That's sheer speculation.
Yeah.
What about stopping when Travis Scott stopped and he said, "Turn the lights up"? Okay, everybody got quiet. The pushing, the shoving, the jumping, that all stopped. Okay.
Wow.
The lunacy and the craziness comes with him inciting that crowd. He has the ability to not only incite them, but also calm them. Hey, turn the lights up. Let's stop everything. Let's make sure everything's under control. Is there anybody here that needs any help? Let's stop. You also have the police saying the reason they didn't stop it was because they were worried about starting a riot.
Yeah.
Give me a break here. Okay. You can't let this continue.
Good point. All right. So, here's a trick question, but I think you'll be able to handle it. You're handling this case, your closing argument to the jury. What would it be?
It would be, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, if you're going to put on an event like this, where you're going to be singing to these masses, that they look to you, they worship you. You've got the ability to control what's happening in that room. In this case, this young man who's known to incite violence, to incite rage, to incite aggressive and dangerous behavior, did exactly that in this case. He was the key figure at the centerfold that was in the position to stop everything from going forward. He's not the only one that's responsible. The blame goes far and wide, but he was in the unique position to stop this from going forward, both in terms of on the front end as we're planning, as well as during the event itself, once he saw things were getting out of control, and he just turned a blind eye. And it's just not fair, and it's not safe, it's not appropriate, and things like this are going to continue if we let this continue to happen.
And then the other operative question would be, all right, ladies and gentlemen, you have a 16-year-old kid. Are you going to let that kid go to a Travis Scott concert?
Why are you limiting it to a 16-year-old? There was 9 and 10-year-olds
that went,
and these are babies, okay? And, you know, it's sad to say that anybody that was shorter than 5 foot in height was going to have problems in that mosh pit, okay? Don't limit it just to the children. Yes, it's horrible that these kids were there. They shouldn't be exposed to this. This, unfortunately, in my humble opinion, goes much further, deeper, and wider than just Travis Scott and this individual concert. This is social media. This goes far and wide. We've got social media. We've got violence that is pervasive in our society, and this guy is promoting it. And it's just not right. It's not appropriate, and it's not fair, and people are getting hurt.
And killed.
That too.
Reportedly, after the concert, which is a huge tragedy in hindsight, obviously, they went to Dave and Buster's to, I don't know, calm down or play or whatever. What's your take on that?
I have a hard time believing it's true, but assuming it is, here you have a young man, Travis Scott, that says to the masses, I'm sorry that this happened. I'm interested in the safety, welfare, and well-being of my fans. If he truly was interested, and that was his primary concern, and you saw a single ambulance go through the crowd, you would think that his primary concern would be, let's find out about what happened. How is that individual person? As opposed to going to Dave and Buster's and disregarding the fact that it wasn't just one ambulance and one person. We're dealing with 8 deaths and hundreds of people that were injured. This is a guy, assuming he's going to Dave and Buster's afterwards, he's interested in himself.
Yeah.
He's self-centered. He's interested in doing anything and everything he can to maximize how much money he's making, how he's viewed socially and in the public world, and he doesn't care about what's happening on an individual basis. Sad to say, but very true.
Will this change the age, you know, for concert goers, maybe 21 years or older for events of this type? Because I mean, having a 10-year-old kid in a crowd like that is absolutely crazy.
Well, let's talk about it. Having a 10-year-old kid going to a concert isn't so crazy if you take appropriate precautions. If he's sitting in a seat and he's not down there in the mosh pit where they're known to engage in all of this crazy behavior, that 10-year-old kid would probably be fine. Okay, there are lots of things that could and should be done. If they're going to have a mosh pit, then yes, you need to limit what's happening. How many people are down there? Who's allowed access to that area? I would say if this guy is going to be allowed to continue to have concerts and engage in that kind of behavior, eliminate the mosh pit altogether, because it's not just the kids. It's the short people. It's anybody that's in a position where they can't protect themselves. They're all vulnerable.
I didn't see much presence of any security or bouncers or guards at all in any of the video that I watched. Did I miss anything?
All I saw was the reference as to, I think they said there were 700 guards that were hired and assigned to participate in this. Like you, where were they? They certainly weren't in the area where the control was needed.
That's right. They should have been right up front, completely surrounding that stage. But God, I don't know. The crowd surge thing is really frightening. There is no way you can fight it. Have you seen any of the interviews with Paul Wertheim, that crowd surge expert?
No, I didn't. But what I did see was, again, in that video that Travis Scott did, where he says, I think I can fly, they specifically talk about the time clock that's going down. And when it hits zero, the surge that is known to happen, they've had it happen over and over again. And you have people that talk about being pushed forward with such violence and force that they're up against the rail and the stage and they cannot breathe. Okay, this is not a surprise. This happens, it's known to happen, and they knew about it.
Wow.
Obviously, in terms of a closing argument, you can go for an hour and a half and target each individual party that you and I talked about today in terms of their role,
right?
How individually they could and should have done something to prevent this. And this is almost like the perfect storm. because you have one party after the next that failed to do what they could and should have done. And together, it resulted in just an absolute crazy, chaotic scene that never should have happened.
That's a good note on which to end. Annie Yaffa, thank you as always for your expertise and for joining us.
My pleasure to be here. Thanks for asking me to participate.
Travis Scott and Kylie Jenner proclaimed their devastation at this fiasco. In a show of generosity, Travis Scott has offered to pay for his concert victims' funeral costs. Until the next crime, this is Primetime Crime. Thanks for listening to Primetime Crime, the podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Primetime Crime and on Instagram and Twitter at PrimetimeCrime_. Post your comments and tell us what true crime stories you'd like to hear about. Subscribe to Primetime Crime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Thanks a lot.